My name is David, and Alison and I are the senior pastors here. And if this is your first time, extra special welcome. It's great to see you. If you're a regular, it's great to see you too. And I'm really glad you're here. And this is a special opportunity for you to meet with God and to do business with Him and to celebrate your life with Him and your journey. And whether it be that you're struggling and you're not sure He even exists, or whether you've had a fantastic week and you're really aware of His presence, this is a great time to come together and celebrate and to inquire and to ask questions and to pursue. This afternoon, we're going to be baptizing two of our friends, and so I'd like them to come up and say hello to you. Paul and Sophie, you're going to come up and say hello. We do this every few months. We go up to Ilkley when the weather is good, only when the weather is good, but it's always good in Yorkshire. But we go up to Ilkley and we try not to lose them downstream. Come and stand up here beside me. And we baptize people up there. It's a really exciting part of who we are and what we do. Jesus said, the Bible says this about Jesus: when Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John, Jesus went to be baptized. But John tried to deter him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" Jesus replied, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us to do this, to fulfill all righteousness." Jesus was baptized, and He told us over and again to make disciples and to baptize them. And it's a matter of great celebration for us when some of our people they meet Jesus, He transforms their life, He rescues them, and they bear witness to this publicly by the sacrament of baptism. And this, when we get baptized, we go under the water the way we do it, right under the water. 2, 3, 4. We count to 30. And then up. Just kidding. Just kidding. And then up again. And that's symbolic of them, of people leaving behind their old life, being rescued, they're dying to their sin and to the trauma and the stuff that separated them from God, and they come up to new life and a resurrected life with Jesus, and then they come and join the community. And that's what it's symbolic of. So I wanted you to hear from Paul and from Sophie a little bit about their journey and why they chose to be baptized. So first of all, this is Paul, my good friend Paul, and he has asked to be baptized. Tell me, how long have you been following Jesus? When did you, you described your journey to me as being up and down.
Yeah.
But when did it start? Do you remember what happened?
About 18 years ago, a neighbor of mine called Dan White came to say, would you like to come to church? And I told her later, I said, if you come to me a few weeks earlier with a question like that, you couldn't have printed the answer. And I said, yes, I will. Something came up and said, yes, I will. So I went along to Vineyard. And on and off, kept on going. I had other various other problems that kept me away. But sort of on and off, went to Vineyard for a few years and went with Anne White and went to all groups and stuff like that. And then I stopped going for about 5 years. And then one day I was just walking past this church here. And I thought, oh, that's a Methodist church, isn't it? I recognise some of these faces. I recognise quite a few of these faces. There was that the banners that said Vineyard had been twisted up in the wind, so I couldn't see who it was. And I thought, this is Vineyard Church. So this is where it changed to. And so I just walked in, that was it, and sort of came back.
And why do you want to be baptised now?
You know, ring out the old, ring in the new.
Yeah, there's new life. It's wonderful. That's fantastic. Sophie, you can hold the mic.
Thank you.
This is Sophie. Sophie's family has been part of the Vineyard here for a long time. But tell us your story. Why do you want to be baptised?
Just briefly, yes, I was part of Vineyard when I was a lot younger, but then I had very little faith and decided to leave at 13. So since then, I wasn't involved in church prayer or anything like that, and it wasn't until around 20, 21 years old that I felt God calling me towards Him, inviting me to get to know Him. And there's certain signs that occurred every day, and I just felt that longing for something more in life. So this year I started attending church again. I'd been praying more and then reading a lot of literature about Jesus and the Bible and spiritual life. And the more I did this, the more I started feeling the presence of God with me, and this is something I hadn't experienced before. So like one example was right at the beginning of my journey, when I first started praying to God. I had several issues occurring at the time. This was causing me a lot of distress, and it was to the point where I just wouldn't eat, I wouldn't sleep, I didn't enjoy anything. And I didn't even think about it. I just started praying, and I would pray for long periods of the day every day, asking God to come and help me and take away this pain. So after a restless night that I had, I almost had like a sudden revelation about my situation, and it just put a different light on what I was going through, and it made it easier to deal with. It didn't take away all the distress, but I felt God's presence with me so strongly at that time, and I felt God was helping me through my situation and guiding me and giving me strength and showing me his presence. So I was unsure about getting baptized. And after a Sunday worship a few weeks ago, I really felt God calling me to be baptized and telling me to celebrate this wonderful news that I've discovered, the news that God is active in our lives and calling us to him so he can shower us with love. And yeah, so my baptism is a symbol of this change that has occurred inside me, and celebrate it and celebrate God and all he can do.
Fantastic. Celebrating change and out with the old, in with the new. Guys, would you like to stand down here? And if you know these guys, if you've been in a house group with them, or you're in your family, or yeah, face them. In fact, Paul, come over to the left a bit. What I'd like you to do is come forward and pray for them. But over here on the left, there's some notes where you can write them. If you've got a word for them or a scripture for them, write it and put it with their name. And there's some instructions about getting up to Ilkley as well. So if you'd like to come pray for them, come up now, gather around them, and let's bless them. So, Lord, we ask you to come. Holy Spirit, would you come on these two? We thank you for Paul, for out with the old and in with the new, and his willingness to do this public thing, to declare that. We thank you for Sophie's celebrating the change that you brought. So, Holy Spirit, we ask you to come and bless them. You probably can't see or hear, but the guys around them are just going to be praying for them and blessing them. We're not shouting at them. We're not quoting stuff at them. We're just asking the Holy Spirit to bless them, to be with them. So whilst they finish off praying, do write down your words for them stuff. It's incredibly encouraging because they won't remember anything you say to them today. So write it down and they can take it away with them. It's even in a plastic wallet, so it's waterproof. So, this is being baptized is part of being a disciple. It's part of the package. And Jesus told us to go and make disciples, and then he said to baptize them. And I've explained a little bit about what that's about. And this is a wonderful event to celebrate that. And Alison and I want to lead a church which takes people who want to be disciples and nurtures them, baptizes them, and then nurtures them and equips them to go out and change the world and equips them to make a difference in their communities. And over the last couple of weeks, we've been thinking a bit about what being a disciple means in the expression of the life of the church. So 2 weeks ago, we looked at what this, you know, Sunday morning, what that does and how important that is for discerning where we are in our walk with God and for an expression of growth and how we can hear from him and express our fellowship of him, maybe precisely because we're in a place where perhaps we, you know, we've got other things to do on a Sunday morning, or we don't like the pews, or we don't like the music, but we still we commit ourselves to it because God has called us to join together and to celebrate together and to worship together, and it's a key part of our discipleship. And last week we looked at small groups and how they're also a really important part of growing as followers of Jesus. And we commended you to do that and to get involved in the small groups. And this week, for the last 3 weeks, I've been talking about this week, which is the week where I want you to tell me what the Lord has been saying to you about how you can go next door. That was the phrase I used. 2 weeks ago, we had our week of prayer and fasting. We called it a week without. And as part of that, I encourage you to ask God about how you could go next door, how you could hear from him, who it is that's around you. Maybe your next door neighbor. It's a metaphor, really, but maybe your next door neighbor. Maybe the person you work with. Maybe somebody in your family. Maybe somebody in a different country like Ruth. Do you remember what Ruth said when she was just about to go back overseas? Maybe something in Headingley, the neighborhood in Headingley. Maybe something in Leeds. How is God calling you to go next door? What's he giving you a vision for? And I want to give you an opportunity to share it and let us hear what God's put on your heart. So you may have managed to sidestep all my messages for the last 3 weeks and not know anything about this. So start praying quickly now and ask the Lord to show you. Some of you have come and been waiting for 2 weeks to share what it is. I want to read, first of all, Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58 is one of those vineyard passages, which is, I'm sure lots of churches use it, but we love it. And it's one of the things that guides us in this. So Isaiah 58, it's round about in the middle of the Bible, just after the Psalms, chapter 58. So you might have it on your device or on the Bibles in front of you. I'm reading from the New International Version translation. Isaiah chapter 58, verse 5. So this is in the context of us having had a week of prayer and fasting. And we're really wanting to know how God has spoken to us through that week. But he says here in verse 5, "Is this the kind of fast I have chosen? Only a day or a week for people to humble themselves? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed and for lying in sackcloth and ashes? Is that what you call a fast? A day acceptable to the Lord?" Verse 6, "Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and to untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them, and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood, then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, 'Here am I.' If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing finger and malicious talk, if you spend yourselves on behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness and your night will become like the noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up the age-old foundations. You will be called repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets with dwellings." Shall we pray? Well, we've got so much to thank you for. We thank you for Sophie and for Paul and their testimony to what you've done in their lives. And many of us have got stories like that, and we thank you for that. We thank you that you died for us and that we can know a new life through your resurrection. We thank you for your gifts to us. We thank you for the giving that comes to this church from the people of the church week in, week out. We thank you for that act of worship and the way it provides for what we do. We thank you for a new term and for our visitors this Sunday, for the students who are starting, and we pray for them. We pray that you will guard them and bless them, that they will have a great time, that will learn loads, and that they will grow. Pray that you'll keep them safe, that they'll make good friends, and they'll learn to follow you more and more. We thank you for the mission that you've given us, and we look forward to hearing what you're saying to us today for the Vineyard in Headingley in Leeds. Amen. So this is an opportunity for you to say, and for us to hear what God is saying to you and doing in your life. We've worshipped together in song. We've heard testimony from Paul and Sophie. Now, what's he saying to you about reaching out? And I haven't really primed anybody on this, so it could be that we sit here in awkward silence for a couple of minutes, and then we have a time of prayer ministry, and then we go home a bit early. It could be that. Or it could be that we have a chaotic queues all the way down the aisle. I don't know what's going to happen. This is entirely up to him and to you. Just let me set the scene a little bit. It might be that what God is nudging you about and your heart's beating faster about is something that we're already doing, and it's just God saying to you, now is the time for you to get involved or to do something else or to add to it or whatever. And it could be, you know, with the debt advice center or the child contact center or the repairing of people's homes that we do or praying for the sick on the streets. It could be that you need to come up here and say, God's prompted me, reminded me about this, and I'm going to get involved in that. It could be as simple as that. It could be something in which you are already involved and all doing, but God is sort of adding to it and reminding you, and you want to tell us about what God's doing through you. It may be a completely new thing. It may be indistinct. You're just getting the first inklings of what God's speaking to you about. This is a sort of test run of what you think he's saying. It will probably be something way outside your comfort zone. That's usually what God does. It requires a risk and a sacrifice. Out there, it may be something you think, oh, they'll think I'm crazy. Well, we may, but that's not a reason for not saying it. It may be something just for you. It's just your story, and you and God, or it may be something to involve the people around you. It may be something to involve the people in the church. It may not. It may be a vision for how the kingdom will be expressed in Headingley, through you, through us, or in Leeds. It may be a vision for something much bigger, ministry across Leeds or overseas. Why have I asked you to do it? Why have we sort of called it together now, sort of made a focus? Because it doesn't. Just because you say something doesn't mean to say it has to happen. All right, don't worry about that. It doesn't mean either that it's for now. It could be something that starts now and gets fulfilled in 10 years' time. I don't know. It doesn't mean that the church is going to launch a whole load of new initiatives. It doesn't mean that at all. But when you speak out in public and in faith, taking a risk, it often acts as a marker in your story and in our story, a point in time when you took a step forward on God's exciting journey for you. And when you share, it'll also inspire others. And somebody else might say, oh, yes, God spoke to me about that, or my heart resonates with what that person's saying. And you track them down afterwards and say, can I talk to you a bit more about this? It will give us an opportunity to pray for you. That'll be a really good thing, so we can see who you are and what God's doing with you, and we can bless it and pray for it. Often when something's about to change, when God wants to do something, either in the community or with an individual, it's a spoken word that brings in the action. That's how creation worked. God spoke and creation came into being. And there's power in the word. There's power when you speak it. Something happens. It may well make action take place. So there's a real value in saying it. And as you speak words, sort of faith-filled words, possibly, or maybe nervous, unsure words, but as you speak the words, we're doing this in the natural, you and me and oxygen and all that, but in the supernatural, something happens. I love it. I love that part of our faith, is that when we do something in the natural, God releases something in the supernatural. It's amazing when that happens. And when I was preparing and praying for you and about this, I felt I got a picture that God gave me of a, it's like a pirate's treasure chest. And all around the edge of this treasure chest were brass or bronze clasps all the way around. Around the edges of the chest. And as you shared what God had put on your heart for the different things, the Lord was unclasping a lock each time. Each time you shared, a clasp opened until he was able to open the full chest. And then when I looked inside the chest, and I said, you know, what have you got for us, God? And he said, there were gifts in there of redemption and restoration. This is Isaiah 58 words, which I really struggle to read. Gifts of redemption and restoration and rebuilding and rescue. So I really am hoping that some of you will share something so that we can undo those clasps and see those gifts given away. So, that's your cue. If you'd like to come and share something God's put in your heart, please come up now. We will be recording these, so if you don't want them recorded, please let Roman, can you just wave? He's hiding in the corner. He'll cut them out if you don't want to. Right, we'll start with Anne, so that she can scribe when she's finished. Come and stand up here.
Something that's been on my heart, and God really reminded me of it in this week, was the store, which we've had, and we've had for years. But for some of you, probably lots of you have never heard of it, because it is literally tucked away in a storage unit down in the middle of town. And it's been stirring in me that it's no good having stuff to give away when it's tucked away in a corner and you can't access it. It's like your loft. It's not very easy to get in and out of, and things just stay there. So I've been really feeling that we need to try and make that more accessible. And then some of you might have been at the Doing the Stuff conference in March with Robbie Dawkins, when we talked about going red, i.e. taking a risk. And I really feel that at some point in time, this won't just be a store where we give stuff away. It'll be a store where we get people's attention by being willing to give stuff away, and then we introduce them to Jesus. So
great.
That's my thing.
Thank you. Else?
Hi. So actually, what was quite interesting, so God's been speaking to me a lot all summer about lots and lots of different things. And then I was at the Fusion conference, the Fusion Student Workers conference, a couple of weekends ago. And before I knew anything about prayer and fasting with Vineyard, and God just really put salvation on my heart for students in Leeds in a big, big way, in a way I've not kind of had that desire before. And then bumped into a guy from CU randomly, and God's been speaking to him about the same thing, and he's really, really excited about this whole thing of the spiritual atmosphere of Leeds changing. And he invited a couple of people in the CU to do a prayer and fasting week, exactly the same week as Leeds Vineyard. So that's kind of what I was getting involved with and praying about. And just, I guess, I'm really, really encouraged that God is going to do big things with Leeds and with the students of Leeds and in the CU. And particularly for me and my house that I'm living in this year, creating a safe place for people to come and hear about Jesus. And mission is more than just big, massive events that we put on, but actually is relationship with people that don't know him, and feeding them and loving them. And yeah, so just wanted to encourage you with that, basically.
Great. Thanks, Anna. John, come up here.
I'm quite a pragmatic person. I would say you can only use what you've got. You can't use what you've not got. And I personally love Leeds. I've been brought up in Leeds. Therry's Filipino-British, but I love the whole international thing. And we happen to rent, we're lucky, because we rent a quite a large house, 6 bedrooms. And for the past 4 years, we've been taking international students coming into Leeds to learn English. You know, there's thousands of students coming to Leeds every year to learn English. And so over the last 4 years, we've taken over 70 students. And people think we're crazy sometimes. Sometimes our house is just teeming with students. But I love it. I love the community. I think it's a lot till I go to the Philippines. I visit Therry's home and there's about 12 or 13 people in the home. And I don't know why I'm sharing that, because I think what God said to me, John, you can only use what you've got. So what have you got? And I remember one time I was out of work. What do they call it? Waiting for your next job. Between jobs, don't they? And I thought, "What, John, what have you got?" And at the time I had a car and a heart for Leeds, and I love meeting people. So I became a taxi driver. So all I'm saying is, what have you got?
Great. Thank you, John. And Bob, you don't really need to stand up here, but you might as well.
You want me to do?
Yeah, yeah.
If I start crying, you're going to have to just put up with it. Last Tuesday, a friend of mine came and sat next to me at a leaders' meeting, and we were quite honest with each other. And I told her that my life had been like a roller coaster and that something was missing. Well, it's come back, so. This morning I feel like a pressure cooker, the lid's bubbling like this. I've let my son go today to university, and I have felt the power of God so strongly this morning. And I've met a new guy here, Adrian, who encouraged me. And for some reason or other, I've been reminded of two stories where Kay and I, once in Canada and once in Fuerteventura, that we prayed for people and we got results. After I said, God, I'm on holiday, I don't need this. We are starting a Coffee Connect, I call it. It's called Coffee Club in Headingley. And I am so happy to be doing that, because I know God is going to put people in that, in White Delhi, for us to talk to. God, thank you for this morning. Thank you that I could feel your presence. And he's just left. I was crying my eyes out at the back while through the worship. And a young lad called Christopher put his arm around me.
Great. Thank you, Bob. Here you go, Molly.
So we've lived at the flat where we lived for the past 4 years, and I've had a lot of frustration and struggle with our neighbors being really annoying and bugging me, and generally I've felt not very Christian things toward them. And what I feel like God's been speaking to me is about stopping being selfish, and rather, what can my neighbors give to me? But that's a silly thing, because they're only giving me annoyance. And I feel like what God's saying is, actually, these people are really hurting. You're there so that you can serve them. And so I just feel convicted in this next season that I'm stepping out and serving them and overlooking what they've been annoying about.
Thank you. Amanda.
So I've been praying a lot recently because I've been sort of fairly unwell, and I felt God saying that we need to look at disabilities in the church, and particularly getting help for disabled people within the Vineyard and within churches. So I really I'm trying to sort of look at maybe a working group. I've got hundreds of ideas that I felt sort of God saying to me that we can do this and get more disabled people. And it's not just about somebody in a wheelchair. It's about people with chronic fatigue illnesses, it's people with learning difficulties, mental health problems, it's everything. And I've contacted charities that I know can help, but I can't do it on my own. And I've just felt God saying, we need to do this together. So,
great. Amanda. Go on, Beryl.
Hello.
You've got a speech.
Pardon?
You've got a speech there?
No, I've just got some...
Oh, okay.
Sorry. Yeah, it's all right. I shan't go on for more than an hour.
Okay. You think she's kidding?
This summer, God spoke to me, not just last this week, but this summer. And one was about... It was in a thing I was listening to about the woman at the well. And actually, she came from the worst city in the area. And even in that city, she was an outcast. And God just spoke to me about ministering to people that are in that situation. So there's an organisation I'm involved with a bit, and they go to this hostel where ex-offenders of the worst sort go. So we're going to go there, and that really excites me. Why would I be excited about people like that? Because God's put it on my heart. And the other thing... to sort of do with that, I heard about this support for refugees. St. Luke's Church in Holbeck, which you may not have heard of, but anyway, that's okay. They're collecting clothes and packs for pregnant mums. I've got a few leaflets here, and they're starting to collect at the church in Holbeck, or if you want to bring it here, I'll take it, between the 4th and the 14th of October. Bring stuff here. There's a website address here as well you can look at. So that sort of connects in with that as well, you know, the poor of the poor, the people that are a bit outcast and that sort of thing. And the other thing that God was speaking to me about, which he has done before, and it's just never worked out, but God's brought it up again. And so I think, well, I have to say it. And it's about having a van and going out and doing something on the streets. I don't know what or anything, but I have to say it because that's what God keeps putting on my heart, and I keep sort of pushing doors and nothing happens, and then I forget about it a bit. And the next summer, I don't know why, every time I go to New Wine, he reminds me about this, not because of what anybody said or anything like that, but it just keeps coming up. So if anybody's got any ideas or whatever about a van, come and let me know before I go mad with it.
Come back. If you resonate with anything that anybody's saying, you know, about a disability or about the ban or any of these other things, do go and collar these people and talk to them afterwards. Oh dear.
I know. I'm trying to find the right page.
Oh dear.
I'll try to be short. Not short with you, but just short in terms of the length.
Get on with it.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway, this is why I brought a piece of paper, because it helps me to summarise things. God's been very good. He's been good in helping me summarise by giving me M's. So I'm going to use M's to remind me of what I'm about. So one of them has been maker. So that is just focusing on God. And it's been good that we've had a week of just seeking God and finding out what he thinks about us and about what's been going on. The other one's been Mary. So I've got married this year, which is great. And marriage is brilliant, and you guys need to get married if you're not married. And if you're not married and are not sure you can get married, then there's Jesus, and we're the body of Christ.
Keep going.
That's okay. Music is one of these things I've got involved with a little bit. And if you play things, talk to me, please. Then I'll have somebody to talk to, because it'd be really good to kind of look at how we can serve each other in that department. I won't talk about worship school yet, but come and talk to me and I'll talk to you about that. Medicine's been the other one, and I've been working in psychiatry, where there's a lot of people with very interesting things going on, and it's been a reminder that we're at war against evil. There's kind of good and bad. I don't know where you stand, which side you want to be on, but one of the things you can be doing is just praying for God's kingdom to come. And the last word, which kind of came up as somebody else was talking, is ministry. And that just is service. So serving these different people, be it Mary or kind of musicians or whoever else it is. And the best way it's done is not for me to get all the glory and do all the serving, but getting other people along. So I've got the privilege of being able to talk to some of the new people as they come through with the Leeds Beckett University Freshers Week, and also in their sort of weekly meetings in a couple of weeks' time. And they need people to serve this week. So if you've got some spare time in the evenings, then talk to me and again, they'd love to have you help them with their teas and coffees as we welcome some of these new guys who are coming in. So, yeah, that's about it for the M's.
Gosh, that's lots. Yeah. Well done, Bex. Thanks. Kate? Michelle? Come on, quickly. We're running out. We should really have gone to get the children. So if you've got children, feel free to walk out and get them. We're going to carry on.
Hi. Yeah, the verse I had, and I'm not entirely sure how this, what this means or how it will flesh out, but it's from Isaiah 61 as well. And it says, "Provide for those who grieve in Zion and bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, an oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called the oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor." And I was taken by the fact that the ones that are going to be called the oaks of righteousness are those that are grieving in Zion, those that are maybe sad now and desperate now. And what I could see was a planting of oak trees, those people that might be now grieving, and they're going to be the ones that are standing tall with big canopies of leaves. And the sense I had was that people will be gathering under them and find shelter by coming to those people. And I think that's, for a while I've had an idea of doing something to do with mental health and health in its wider sense. And the sense was that the people that are grieving in Zion, or have been grieving in Zion, meaning church, grieving in church, are going to be the people that will provide that canopy for other people to come from the community to find shelter and hope and healing.
Very good. Thank you.
Okay, I just wanted to fill you in with some local neighbourhood stuff that we're doing. So, for those of you that remember, a word a few of us had 2 years ago about pollinating the gospel in Headingley. Well, I heard this week from Jane Devane, who's the head teacher of Shire Oak Primary. So if you look at Costa, it's literally just behind, so near Lupton Hall. And we've just been going in there quite a bit, helping out with the classes. There's a Phil took quite a large team to sort out their garden, and Jane emailed me this week with news that they're really delighted. They've just gone from a satisfactory to an outstanding in how they particularly teach people about Jesus. How good is that? So there's just two lines that I wanted to read you in the report, which I thought was amazing. "Worship makes an outstanding contribution to the life of the school. It's engaging, uplifting, and inspirational, and makes a powerful contribution to the children's moral, spiritual, social, and cultural development." There's loads, it goes on. But it's just, they're doing great stuff across there, teaching all those children about Jesus. So let's keep investing in our local neighbours.
How?
Talk to me.
Okay.
I'll try and be quick. I've just felt that God wanted me to come and tell you this, what's happened. Back in June, Jerry and I went to visit Causeway Coast, and we were in Ireland. And while we were there, we went to Belfast Vineyard, and Andy Smith was preaching that morning, and he was talking about offence. And 10 years ago, my father was having to go into a nursing home. There was a major breakdown between me and my Christian sister. When I say major, I just haven't barely seen her over the last 10 years. And I knew that my own emotions connected with what had happened, I felt justified, and I had forgiven her. But before God, I didn't feel right, and I didn't know how I could restore the relationship. Anyway, when Andy spoke about being offended, he said, quite often as Christians, we will forgive, but we still hold on to the offence. And I really, it wasn't until I got home that I just said to God, okay, God, I let go of the offence. And then must have been like the end of June, I heard that my brother-in-law, my sister's husband, was seriously ill. And he was actually in Austria. They had 3 terrible weeks in Austria with him being ill. And then he was brought back to England and three or four weeks later, he actually did pass away. That was at the end of July. And I can't tell you how relieved I was that I had let go of that offence, because I don't know how I could have gone to see my sister or gone to the funeral if I'd still have had that in my heart. And this week, we went on holiday since, and my sister's been on holiday, and I haven't been able to go and see her since the funeral. This week, Jerry and I went to see her. I didn't know what to expect, because she's 12 years older than me. She's always been like a parent figure in my life, so I didn't know what to expect, but it was okay. We had a good time, and I'm just so thankful to God for a relationship restoration. And I believe that what affects me as an individual affects us as a church. And I highly recommend Andy Smith's talk on offence, because it's just so easy to not even know that you've got it in there.
Great. Thank you, Paulie. Okay, so what we're going to do now is, if you are one of the people who have just shared something, would you like to stand so that we can pray for you? And if you've got, feel God has given you something about an area of that you know, he's called you in, to go next door, whatever that looks like, and you didn't get a chance to share it, would you like to stand as well? And we'd love to pray for you. So would you, those, okay guys, I might be the pastor, but you're the ministers, so it's your job to do the praying for these people. So would you like to, you have to move out, climb over pews, move out of stalls, whatever it is, gather around these people, and I'll lead you in praying for them. Ask the Lord to show you which one to go and pray for. I don't mind if it's your first time here, you can still pray for somebody. Ask the Lord, who should you be praying for, and go and stand near them. Those of you who we're praying for, just put your hand right up in the air so that we can just tell which is which, if you're being prayed for. Okay, have they all got people around them? Okay, let's pray for them. Holy Spirit, we ask you to come. We bless what you're saying to these people. We bless the way you're speaking to them. We bless it, Lord. We bless what you're saying. And the words that you've spoken, the words that they've spoken out, I pray that they will now become action. Not just words, but action. Things that change people's lives. Things that bring, open the clasps of that treasure chest and allow your gifts to come. Now let him come. Let the Holy Spirit come. He's using you as a conduit for us. Do you understand? So it's not all about you. You just happen to be the mouthpiece for now. And we bless that. We bless that. Let him come more. Let him come more. More of your Spirit, Lord. Now, as you're praying for them, if you get a word for them, a scripture or an encouragement or a particular picture for them, share it with them. When I look at you, I see. What do you see when you pray for them? When we pray, we keep our eyes open so we can see what God's doing. If you're being prayed for and you sense the Lord speaking to you through the person who's been praying for you, tell them, encourage them, tell them what's going on. We're going to call a halt, so you carry on praying. If you've come and you need prayer today for anything specific and we haven't covered it, please come to the front and I'll find somebody to pray for you. Thank you for coming to the Vineyard today. Have a great week. We'll see you next Sunday.